If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is the Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
The Sound Podcast is part of the OSIRIS Network. OSIRIS is a growing community of music and culture podcasts connecting music fans like you with conversation, commentary, and of course, lots of music. Check out OSIRISPod.com for more great podcasts. The show starts now.
We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Undertow from Animal Liberation Orchestra, featuring the Monophonics horn section, taken from their performance at the Crocodile in Seattle, February 10th, 2018. The ALO is one of those bands that you listen to, and they just instantly make you happy. This quartet features Dan Leibowitz on guitar and vocals, and when he isn't playing with ALO, he is quite busy in a whole host of projects. We cut up with Lebo, as he's affectionately known, to talk ALO, his gigging with Phil Lesh, and lots more. Our conversation started when I asked Lebo about the current Tour d'Amour tour, and he promptly corrected my brutal mistake around Roman numerals.
Yeah, we're a couple weeks in, basically. We started with a little SoCal run, and then last weekend we were up in we did a long weekend up in Pacific Northwest, like Seattle, Portland, all that kind of stuff, which was super fun. And then this week we're heading out again now, and we're doing like, I don't know what you'd call it, but it's basically like a it's sort of a Bay Area thing, but like a North Bay kind of thing, you know, mixing a little Chico and whatnot. But, you know, this is our annual tour, so we do it every year, and it's really fun because we've sort of got a consistent, you know, I wouldn't say consistent, it has a tradition to it, you know, it's nice to have tradition.
Yeah, it's like your seventh one, right? I mean, doing this?
No, like our 12th.
Oh, 12th. Roman numerals, not my friend.
Right, you were thinking VII, but it's XII.
Yeah, well, that's even better. I mean, then it's exactly. does it ever get old? I mean, you're playing, I assume, packed houses that are excited about the music you're making. That's why you keep going.
Yeah, no, it definitely does not get old at all. Like it's always, it's one of my favorite times of the year. But yeah, because sometimes, you know, like summer, you got all these fun summer festivals and you got all that kind of stuff. But winter sometimes gets a little slower anyhow, but it's really nice for us because we've got this like annual tour, which is sort of like our, you know, for ALO, it's like the number one tradition the band has as far as touring goes. So it's nice. It's a good time of year for it and stuff.
You guys haven't put out a record in a long time. Are you playing old stuff? Are you playing new stuff that you haven't recorded? What are the set lists like for these shows?
You know, mostly stuff from albums, although there's a couple new ones we've been sneaking in there. We tend to, our sort of general, like back in the old days when we started, we were just like throwing songs in the set all the time. Mm-hmm. But now we have so many that we typically will do like an album of, you know, 10 or 12 new songs.
Right.
And then suddenly there's 10 or 12 new originals in the set. And we usually, when we do an album, they tend to be songs that were never done live before.
So are you guys writing for a new record?
Or? Yeah, absolutely. That's what's going on right now. Yeah, actually, everyone's got a ton of songs. Like, and usually what happens when we do an album is there's no shortage. So what we do is everyone just sort of like throws a bunch of songs out there. And we actually make a big, like, you know, spreadsheet. And we all go on there and, like, you know, like rate the ones that we think would be cool for the record. And like the band does it and the management does it. We've never had less than 40 or so songs that, you know, so it's always like a process to whittle that down to, you know, 12.
No, it's a double record. I mean, it makes sense, yeah. Right? Now is a good time to make double records. Oh my God.
Yeah. So, I mean, that part's good because everyone writes in the band, you know, so it's right. Not like, you know, where it's dependent on one person's whims, you know. Everyone writes a bunch, so there's always songs kicking around. But yeah, we tend not to add a lot of originals when we're just touring, though. It's true. We tend to, like, do them for records. That's sort of been our, how we've worked for the most part for the past, I don't know, 10, 15 years, you know.
Right, right. And are you sprinkling in stuff from the Love Songs EP last night? Did you play last night?
Add covers all the time. That's something we do all the time.
Right, right.
Last weekend, we learned an Elton John song for every night of the run for last week. It's going to be Paul Simon this week.
You guys are really reaching out for the obscure songwriters.
Yeah, exactly. So we you know, and then we've sort of picked other ones for the rest of the tour too. But, you know, that's something we like to do. We like throwing new covers in because it's sort of like, we've been together a long time, you know. Like,
yeah.
Zach, Steve and I have been playing since we were 12.
Right.
And the band's been like an album that records records for, you know, since the early 2000s. So at this point, you know, even on a multi-night run, like we have some of these two-night runs, like last weekend and this weekend, you know, in the same venue, and we won't, you know, we don't do any repeats, but even not doing any repeats, there's still like so many songs we'd like to do that we can't get on there. So it's sort of like we try to keep it fresh by just like trying to, you know, throw a new cover in there and only play it, you know, once or twice on the whole tour. And then really trying to get, you know, jump into our original music, which we love to play.
For sure.
And there's plenty of it. You know.
Are a lot of people following you from place to place? I mean, you're, you know.
Yeah, there were definitely a bunch of people up in the Pacific Northwest who were down in Southern California.
Right.
And that sort of represents the extremes of the tour, actually, the past 2 weeks, you know. Because we were as far north as Seattle, and the week before we were as far south as San Diego. I expect, though, that there will be even more crossover with the first weekend and then the rest of the tour, because the rest of the tour is all, you know, the farthest north we go, I think, is like Tahoe from here on out.
Right.
All the end of the month, and then even into March. Well, you know, it's all like Sacramento, Tahoe, you know, Chico, Grass Valley, Sebastopol, San Francisco, stuff like that, you know?
Right. So it's all a warmer climate, which is good. And
which is great. Yeah, it was cold up there.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. Colder than I like.
When you guys, I mean, you know, Zach has his own projects and he's recording on his own, and you're certainly no stranger to getting up on stage at Terrapin Crossroads lately. Does that stuff get in the way now? I mean, you are a band that's been at this together for a while, and I would imagine the temptation to try to do more stuff on your own is out there. But is it, or is it really still about ALO and then, you know, the Lebo stuff on the side or the Zach Gill stuff on the side? Or
yeah, I don't know. You know, for us, it's all, I don't know how to say it, but that's really important to all of us, like our solo things, you know, or I should say not our solo things, because a lot of them involve bands, but our non-ALO stuff. It's really important to all of us. And I think it's actually a part of why our band's been able to last so long. Because, you know, in the early days when it was just us, you know, playing together all the time, you're always trying to get all your yayas out in one project. And different people, some people want to do more live playing and some people want to do less live playing. All the various things that you're then like totally dependent on each other for. So pretty early on, you know, a number of years back, we kind of have always just sort of supported everyone doing like non-ALO stuff. And I think it actually just like helps the whole thing, because when in the old first days when we were all so dependent on each other, it was actually like, I don't think that would have lasted. In fact, I know it wouldn't have, because of people's different lifestyles and different needs and different artistic intentions. You know, the other thing is, it's like, I think of it as like, we're each like our own sphere of art, you know, music. And where ALO gets to live is in that intersection of all those things. And I think what happens with a lot of bands when people go so all in, especially if you have a band where people have a lot of, like, care about that. I mean, if you're like one lead guy and a whole bunch of side men, then maybe it doesn't matter. But in our case, where we all have like vision, you know, musical vision, it's like to try to like drag someone down your weird road or get dragged down their weird road of something some aspect you're not even into is just kind of a drag. So it's nice. This way ALO can be like pure ALO, like the real intersection of all of us, not some forced thing, you know?
You know that I talked to Tim Bloom of the Mother Hips before I spoke to you. And one of the things that really strikes me, and I don't know if it's coincidence that Terrapin Crossroads exists now or you guys and the Mother Hips and just, you know, other bands that have been in the Bay Area for so long, it seems like there's a renaissance more recently with you guys playing with one another or making music on your own, but knowing each other. Is that a vibe that is kind of new to the Bay Area in like the last, you know, 2 or 3 years that you haven't felt before?
Oh, totally. Like, I've talked about this before where I feel like right now, since I've been in the Bay, which was I kind of moved back up. You know, I grew up here, but then I was away for a little while when I was going to school. But I got back up here, you know, in the real early 2000s. And I've never seen the music scene so strong as it is right now. And, you know, I think in general, like, things go in waves, you know what I mean? And I think we're in a really cool wave right now, is what I think, you know, because, and there's always been bands, like, kind of, this might be what you're getting, there's always been a bunch of bands, but the sort of community element of it, and the interplay, and the sort of, yeah, like, the community about it, it's definitely, to me, it's just way stronger than it's ever been since I've been here, which is, and it's so cool to be a part of it.
Yeah, I mean, on any night, you could be playing with a whole bunch of guys that you don't normally play with or filling in at Crossroads, right?
Yeah, I literally got asked today to do some shows with Phil next week. It's like that. Like, you just suddenly get an email, like, can you jump on these ones? And then it's like, no, I'm on tour. Or in this case, yes, it's actually the day I get home. Yeah, I'll hop over to him and have fun to play with Phil. Sure.
And how crazy is that? How crazy is that for you to get a call from what I would imagine is a musical idol, if not yours, then certainly somebody that you revere. Go play with Phil Lesh. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's awesome. He's such a joy to play with because he's so, how do I describe it? He's such like a journeyman of music, you know? He's still like, he's not phoning anything in, you know what I mean? He's like really, he's really into concept. That's one of the things I really appreciate about him. Like, you know, he's always kind of thinking about the concept behind things. And I think that keeps things fresh for him because he's able to reinvent tunes he's been playing for, you know, 40 or 50 years now. But suddenly we'll get there for soundcheck and he'll be like, hey guys, I want to try this thing, like such and such. And suddenly it's this new concept for it. It's like, so inspiring, just like, you know, you could just to be able to be so alive with the music, you know.
Can you just fall in at this point when you're playing either with the Terrapin Family Band or Phil and Friends? Is it just easy for you to you know, slide right in and do your thing, or is every show an adventure at this point?
There, I mean, to some extent, they're all adventure because one thing is they don't like do you don't like get your set list in advance usually. Right. I mean, often you're finding it out after soundcheck, you know. So, but what is inherent, I think, in all the people that they have playing over there is you kind of, as a musician, you kind of got to be able to roll with like music. You know what I mean? Like beyond the song. So you have to be able to like not know a song and be able to like go make some cool art with it. You know, it's not just like, oh, we're going to play this song and maybe you don't know it. So you just kind of like follow along, you know. I guess it's sort of like twofold. You have to be comfortable in the unknown, you know, playing stuff you might not be familiar with. And then beyond that, you not only do you just have to play the stuff, you got to be ready to like do something cool with it, you know, like do something fun with it. And I honestly feel like that's one of the things that Phil kind of likes about having all these different people come in, is because as long as you can hang with that, you know, as all the musicians can hang with that, then what he gets out of it is all these other perspectives, you know. And I almost feel sometimes like the idea of not getting people set lists in advance is sometimes I feel like it's actually by design, in that it's like that way you're going to be more in a situation where you have to depend on your intuition, you know, your musical intuition, rather than your ability to like memorize parts, you know. or, you know, your capacity for that. And then with intuitions, you have something cool to say with your intuition, or have an intuition that can lead you to cool things, then suddenly cool things are going to happen in the music that would only happen with that combination of players. You know what I mean? So I definitely get that sense from him. He's into the idea of interpreting stuff and bringing your intuition into it. You know, because there's plenty of guys who know all the Grateful Dead tunes and all the little parts and got all the, like, gadgets and everything, you know. And there's, I know people that do that, and it's awesome, too. It's, like, really amazing. But then there's a bunch of other people, I've sort of put myself in that category, who, like, I have a huge respect for the music. I don't know all those songs, you know, but I know a lot of them, and I'm happy to jump in and, like, discover from it, you know.
So when you do this, are there charts in front of you, or is it something that, oh, here's the set list, and oh shit, I don't know, Sugar Ray. I just remember Jackie Greene telling me a story about Sugar Ray. I got to go learn this tune real quick.
Yeah, definitely. It's a combination of both. Like, there's charts floating around. There's a pretty big book that we all share. But to be honest, some of the charts are a little sketchy in it. You know, like you didn't really follow them.
Right.
You might get yourself in trouble. You might get a nasty look because you might be playing what's written down, but it's not actually what's there. So to some extent, you have to know it. But again, you have to be good at, like, listening to the music as you're playing it and be able to sort of roll with it and hear where the songs are going. But, I mean, at this point, I know a bunch of the tunes, which is nice. But when I first started playing over there, you know, I only knew a few Grateful Dead tunes. I actually didn't know a ton of them because
wow.
I was always, you know, I've been playing with Zach and Steve in ALO since I was 12. And so I've always been in, you know, my focus has always been in sort of like original projects, you know, and then we do covers, as I was talking about before, but that's never been the focus. So I knew a handful of Dead tunes the first time I played with Phil, but, you know, a couple of those were on the list and there were all these other ones. And, you know, basically it's sort of like, I'll divide this song sort of like mentally into three things. Okay, I either know this song, or another category would be like, I've heard this song, I have a pretty good idea of what it does. And then the third category for me would be like, I don't know what this is. I got to go like look this up. And so then if I have time with my time, I'll start there, you know, with the third group, you know, to try to get familiar with it and then move towards the second group as I have time. And like I said, sometimes, you know, I've had times where I've gotten a set list a day before, which is nice, but sometimes it's rolling in right before or after soundcheck. And then, you know, you got a couple hours with which you can use your time as you wish.
Yeah. Yeah.
First. The only other thing I was going to say is, you know, the other thing is it's like, you know, depending on who's on the gig too, because there's sometimes the gig is there's more people on stage who know the songs really well. And other times there's less people. So that's sort of something to consider too, as to like, for me as a guitar player, so, okay, this is a tune where I should probably like get some of those signature parts. I should figure some of those out. Or I know them and I should play them. And other times I'm going to be like, oh, there's other guys who are going to do that already. I'm going to do something totally different, you know. Because the idea is definitely not to go like, you know, copy
a
version of it or the record or some live version. I don't get that Phil's super interested in that.
Right. I don't think as a band they were ever interested in doing it the same way.
Yeah,
twice,
those
right?
guys weren't. Exactly. They were changing the way they did the music all through the era. Yeah, not because they were copying something, but because they were just being adventurous.
The added thing is that you probably have to sing some of this stuff too, which could be crazy, right?
Yeah, well, with vocals it tends to be like you're going to know it and he's either going to suggest it to him or he'll suggest it to you. Oh, do you want to sing this one? And if I didn't know a song, I probably would. I mean, if it was in category three where I didn't know the tune, I wouldn't go sing it. I wouldn't do that. I mean, you know, I'd want to like become, like, I don't mind having some lyrics in front of me if I need them, but like, I don't want to be like, you know, I don't want to be like not knowing it at all while trying to like deliver it in that way.
Right.
But at this point, I know a bunch of them, so that I have a bunch of that I can sing. So that's usually not a problem. You know, there's a bunch.
Do you think kind of...
But that catalog is so vast, you know? It's a vast
right, catalog. I know. Like, are you going to learn 300 songs? I mean, that's crazy, right?
Exactly, yeah. No, yeah. That's why the best thing to do is always like, I even think of this with just like instrument practice in general. It's like you work on all this stuff to develop your intuition.
Do you think it's made you a better player? Like, do you think
these absolutely.
Things... Right.
In general, I'm happier when I have a bunch of stuff to work on. I really enjoy practicing and working on music. Like I'm very happy sitting in a room alone working on stuff. Like it's a good space for me. I wouldn't want to just do that, you know. Like I like gigging, I like performing, I like recording and all that, right? Playing with people. But the alone time part of it is a real part of it for me. Like I wouldn't be happy if I was only gigging and not like having like alone time with music too. Like that's a huge part of my life, really.
It's probably hard to make a living just practicing and getting good at your craft.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, like I said, it would be boring if you didn't have anything to do with that. I mean, for me, I think part of the exciting part of it is the known in the back of my mind that this is informing something else, you know.
Totally. It's funny because I spoke to Alex Coford, and I don't want to drop names, but I mean, these are all guys that are part of the scene. And for him, the challenge is that he could be on the kit one day and it's one guitar player, and the next day, besides Phil, it could be a whole bunch of different people, and he's got to figure out again what's going on. And that's the rhythm section of the band. I mean, for him, it's
totally. It's huge, and in guitar player landed, that really is a thing too, because depending on what guitar players are there, that's like a very real thing. Sometimes it's, you know, I've had gigs where it's one guitar player, but usually it's two to, I've been up there with like four or five guitar players.
Right.
And those situations, you really got to it's like you really got to be musical. You know, you can't just be like, oh, this is too crowded, or be like, oh, I'm not going to do anything. You got to like make art with all those people. And I'll tell you, when it's happening, it is happening. It's really cool. You know, it's like all these sound floating around, but it definitely requires being open-minded and not being like, oh, you know, I figured out how to do this thing, now I'm comfortable, I can do that thing. It's not never that. It's always like being like listening mode and reactive mode.
Did I see you, and I know that I've seen some footage of you at Crossroads, were you on stage with Tommy Hamilton for one or two of those shows that he did, or No,
I haven't played with him there, but I did just play with him a couple weeks ago on Jam Cruise.
Oh, wow.
We did a couple with Voodoo Dead.
Right.
I played a bunch, and then he ended up sitting in on one of the sets too. So
cool. Thanks so much for taking the time. I've kept you far too long. When can we expect a new ALO record?
Well, right now, like I said, we're kind of in the writing stage, you know, and we're sort of hammering down dates for recording. I would say it'll be a little while, though. It probably won't be before the winter or anything like that. But then right now we're just like full steam ahead on this tour anymore. So
right, and probably
going to cap off with our weekend at the Fillmore that we always do. So that'll be really fun. I think that's St. Patrick's weekend this year. So.
Cool.
That's going to be kind of different for us because we usually do it at the end of February, but this year the whole tour is longer, and we really like to close the tour at Fillmore. That's kind of part of the tradition. So pushed it to there, but that'll be kind of fun because we can kind of have some cool concept to work with. It's a Valentine's tour, Tour de Amour.
Yes.
But here we're going to be at St. Patrick's Day, so we're thinking about some sort of, you know, intersection of love and
Irish
luck.
Luck.
Know?
Oh.
So there's some cool stuff to work with. And then we'll do our kids show, which we always do.
Yeah.
We started doing that a few years ago. So fun.
And I assume we'll see you on some festival dates throughout the summer and some other things.
Yeah, a bunch. Well, we're going to go, ALO is going to go straight from the Fillmore weekend. So we do Friday night, you know, there, and then a Saturday day and a Saturday night. And then on Sunday, we're going to get up real early and head down to Santa Barbara, and we're doing a show with Jack Johnson at the Santa Barbara County Bowl. So that'll be fun.
Never heard of him. Is he talented?
Yeah. I guess I heard he sings some songs. But we're going to go out and do that with him. And then ALO's got some more one-offs kind of throughout the summer. And then we're all, you know, doing a bunch of stuff. I just signed up for High Sierra again.
Right.
And some other festivals coming up too, and then more touring. And like for me, it's all about all these little pieces to sort of like put together into a puzzle, and I kind of have a fun time with it. It's always different, you know, which is fun. It's kind of like going back to what we were first talking about getting all your yayas out, you know?
Yeah, it's great. Thanks so much, dude, for doing this and for making really exceptional music that we've enjoyed over the years, and we can't wait to hear more. And we're always intrigued when we hear you playing with other people other than and the regular band or just on your own. So thanks so much for the music, and we'll be watching and listening. So take care. All right.
Awesome, man. Great talking to you. Thanks.
Seriously, Lebo is one in a million. A very sweet guy who has a ton of talent, and he had so much to share, he would have stayed for hours if we asked him to. We'll keep an eye out for new ALO music, and of course, any projects Lebo comes in contact with. You'll be able to catch him at the High Sierra Music Festival this summer. For more on ALO, visit alomusic.com. And for more on Lebo, visit lebomusic.com. Before we leave you, have a listen to Electro, taken from the Crocodile performance, February 11th, 2018. Thank you.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love and you, their fans. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.
Osiris.